Mr. Watkinson, we have two more Habitat agenda items here, both involving the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries. Are they going to be time-consuming?
I do not think so. They should be.
Let's do that quickly. Let's do those quickly. Mr. Croxon, if someone from your operation gives me a call tomorrow, I would appreciate that. Thank you. Oh, Scott, thank you. Agenda item 9, Department of Game and Inland Fisheries. Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon. The next two items are very similar in nature. They're both Department of Game and Inland Fisheries public access projects, which are rebuilding existing boat launching facilities. In both cases, we received joint permit applications for the projects, and they were permitted. However, there were differences in what was permitted and was ultimately built, which resulted in violations at both sites. They have applied, obviously, for after-the-fact authorization. In the interest of simplicity and speed, I can brief both of these at the same time. And you can probably take action on them separately after those briefings.
I think that would be appropriate.
All right. The first project requests after-the-fact authorization to retain a 40-foot-long by 6-foot-wide open-pile pier with a 12.5-foot by 16-foot kayak launch platform, a 10-foot-wide by 65-foot-long open-pile tending pier with an 8-foot by 39-foot-long L-head with associated wave screen, 8-foot-wide by 66-foot-long open-pile tending pier, and a 64-foot-long open-pile tending pier that widens from 5 feet to 10.5 feet at its channeled end with associated wave screen at the public Fox Hill boat landing facility located along the Back River adjacent to 365 Dandy Point Road in City Hampton. This is the first project here down to City Hampton. This is an aerial of the facility, Back River, Factory Point, and Chesapeake Bay is off to the north and east. What you see exists, it was previously existing, are three tending piers for two ramps. What you see on the right here is what was originally permitted, which were 8-foot-wide piers here, here, and here, with an L-head here, and a kayak floating launch facility here. What you see on the left was ultimately built. Starting at this pier to the far right, it's 5 feet wide, widening out to 10 feet wide, and this dashed line here is the proposed wave screen that was built. The second pier was built to specification. This third pier was permitted at 8 feet wide. It was built at 10 feet wide, and a wave screen was also installed. I have a better drawing here showing the kayak launch facility. The T-head was originally proposed to be 10 feet by 12 feet. Instead, it was permitted to be, 12.5 to 16. So those are the deviations from the plans. These are just cross-sections showing the detail for the wave screen. This is a typical crossing, cross-section. Pictures showing the as-built structures, a ramp extending out to a floating kayak dock. Here's the leftmost tending pier, the wave screen, and the L-head coming out. Again, this was 10 feet wide. It was permitted to only be 8 feet wide. This is the second pier that was built to, this is the far right pier that widens from 5 feet out to 10 feet wide, and they did not build the L-head there as well. The wave screen, I don't have pictured here, but is right underneath the pier. And this is the middle pier that was built to specification. Summary recommendation for this project: since the permitted plans did not accurately represent what was built at the Fox Hill Public Boat Launch, we determined that the Department of Game and Land Fisheries was in violation, and we requested accurate as-built drawings to facilitate an after-the-fact review. We conducted a public interest review of the as-built project, and no objections were received, and staff believes that the structures are appropriate in their current form. Staff is not recommending any civil charges or triple permit fees, since the applicant did receive a permit, and there have been no objections to the variations from the originally permitted drawings that were apparently the result of a clerical error. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition to the project and after considering all the factors contained in 28.2-1205 of the Code of Virginia, staff is recommending approval of the project as constructed. The second project is in Matthews County, and this is requesting after-the-fact authorization 10-foot-wide by 139-foot-long open-pile tending pier, an 8-foot-wide by 17-foot-long L-head, an associated wave screen along the East River at the Town Point Public Boat Landing Facility in Matthews County. So here's Matthews County up here to the north. It's along the East River, Mob Jack Bay. Kind of washed out a little bit. I apologize for that. This is an aerial of the previously existing facility, a single boat ramp with a tending pier and a bulkhead wave screen on that side. This is what was originally permitted, which was an 8-foot wide pier with an L head, and what they built was a 10-foot wide pier with an L head. So that was the only deviation, is going from an 8-foot wide to 10-foot wide pier for the main stem portion of the pier and the associated wave screen. Cross section for the permitted wave screen, for the requested wave screen. These are some ground shots. You can see the wave screen here, 10-foot wide pier, going out to an L head, and then the bulkhead that was permitted over here. Same summary type recommendation. Since the permitted plans did not accurately represent what was built at the Town Point public boat launch, we determined Game and Fisheries to be in violation, and we request accurate as-built drawings to facilitate an after-the-fact review. We conducted a public interest review of the as-built project, and no objections were received, and staff believes that the structures are appropriate in their current form. Staff does not recommend any civil charges or triple permit fees, since the applicant did receive a permit, and there have been no objections to the variations from the originally permitted drawings that were apparently the result of a clerical error. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition to the project, considering all factors contained in 20.2-1205 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project as constructed. That answers
any questions. Any questions from the commission on either of these after the fact? Mr. Neal has questions.
Are both of these projects the RFAB projects? They go through the RFAB process?
Yes, sir.
Well, first, I would make a comment. This was good use of our recreational license money. This is the project that our license fund was created for. And I probably shouldn't say this publicly, but going through that process and all the checks and balances, I just find it humorous we're here with a fellow agency that messed up. I saw this on the agenda and I said, you got to be kidding me.
It's kind of what I said to
AJ
Scott. Sir Erskine.
So I agree. The importance of the project is money well spent. But I'm unclear why you're not recommending civil charge or triple permit fees. It's a deviation. It's after the fact permit request for anyone else. I mean, I would think there'd be those kind of penalties. Is that all right?
Well, if this was going to be a page 3, you know, and it had civil charges, that would be one thing. That's why we're briefing you today to make these kind of decisions, whether or not civil charges or triple permit fees should be assessed. Given the situation, they applied for it. We would have applied for it in the configuration that they're asking for now, and in the interest of, you know, trying to, you know, keep these projects moving forward, we felt like it wasn't appropriate to assess those fees. But, you know, certainly if that's something you want to consider, I mean, that's well within your prerogative.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Zedra.
You said clerical error. Explain that, will you?
So the drawing, and this is my conversations with the DGIF representatives. They submitted drawings to us that apparently were preliminary drawings. They weren't the final drawings, so the drawings that they actually gave to the contractors to build were different because they made changes, I think, specifically for ADA purposes, the American Disability Act access purposes. That's why they went to 10 feet wide where they could on some of the piers. So I think that's what happened. I think there was a transition in personnel at DGIF, is my understanding, and it just kind of got lost in the paperwork.
Okay.
Let me ask a question here, Mr. Johnson. If what was built was submitted, do you have any doubt that it would have been approved as submitted?
No, we would have approved as submitted, I believe, administratively.
And the RFAB would have approved it. So what was done is fine. I've got a morbid sense of humor. I just found it very humorous that the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries screwed up.
Mr. Erskine?
But I just want to be clear. I'm not arguing against it would have been permanent or it was appropriate use of the money. I think it's terrific. I just wonder, you know, I guess I asked the rest of the commission, is that something after the fact permit request is after the fact? They overbuilt something that was not permitted. I mean, that's clearly not what was permitted. Whether it was appropriate, I guess, is a different discussion, but it was overbuilt.
Mr. Ballard.
To follow up on Mr. Erskine's questions, I guess I'd just ask your opinion. If it was someone personally doing this, would you recommend triple permit fees?
Depending on the circumstances. Maybe yeah. If it was the same set of circumstances and we felt it was an honest error, maybe we would have brought it to you for you to discuss and determine whether or not you would assess those, because this ultimately is just a recommendation from us.
Right.
So, just for the record, triple permit fees would be $75?
These are $100 each, so it would be $300.
Oh. So, $300 each?
They're separate applications, $100 each.
We're rich!
Civil charges that, you know, also that would potentially apply. Royalties would be exempt for a state agency.
I got a question.
Just say that one more time, excuse me.
State agency, political subdivision are exempt from royalties.
Right.
Mr. Zedra.
If this was something that was required by the ADA, then that was something that their staff should have caught as well, didn't it?
That's my understanding. I'm not reviewing these projects for ADA compliance. I'm looking at them from a state resource perspective. And when they applied for the original 8 feet wide, I thought that was perfectly fine. When they came back and wanted to get 10 feet wide and they gave the justification for ADA compliance, I was perfectly fine with that as well.
Mr. Tankard?
Well, I guess I might just remind us all that the obvious, these are beautiful piers built for the public. They're not a single pier built for a single person or family. And as a result, I don't see any need for some royalty or any penalty.
Although I have no doubt that the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries will hear of your all's collective disapproval of how this all went.
I'm going to get a ticket next time I'm fishing Chickahominy, aren't I?
You have 2 feet of reel.
AJ brings up a very valid point. I'm just not sure it's worth the issue, but I do find it humorous. It's just, all right, I'm wasting up all your time.
Well, staff recommendation is to approve the after the fact request.
Can I ask a question, yeah. Staff?
Yes. Well, thank you, Kathy. That's a very good idea. I assume nobody was going to speak because there's nobody that's not staff related in the room. Mr. Erskine.
Are we taking these two agenda items together as one? Maybe it's a question for the commissioner, I guess, but they're going to be decided upon together.
That was my intent, unless you want to separate them.
You thought it was going to be a quick agenda item, I know.
That was my great and dear hope. Almost as much as a hope as removing that sailboat in Loxley's Creek. But
well, I
do you want to separate them?
No, I'm perfectly fine. I just will have a further comment. I think the piers do look terrific, and it's a very good use of the money again. But principle is principle that this was after the fact request. For a permit that they overbuilt the project. So I'd be in favor of the triple permit fees and a minor deviation of the project. So
let me just comment to that.
Mr. Zeman.
I think if it's a requirement of the ADA, the American Disabilities Act, that's something that this staff should have caught and approved, and because that's a federal requirement.
Mr. Erskine?
I agree. I think that was just an idea. I don't think that was testimony?
That was just my comments when I was talking to them. I said, why did you go 8 feet to 10 feet? They said, because we wanted to make sure we were compliant with the ADA. There was not any kind of submittal with the application or anything like that. That was just my question to them on the phone.
Okay, procedural matter. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard on these two agenda items, either pro or con? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Tankard?
I move to approve staff recommendation on both of these projects.
What?
Second.
Motion by Mr. Tankard, second by Mr. Zedrin. Any further discussion, he asked hesitantly.
I'm quiet.
Seeing none, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
AJ's going to get tickets.
Chair votes. Chair votes aye.
They're going to be watching you,
AJ. You'll come after me. Good thing I have no license.
Chair votes aye. So the motion for both agenda items pass 8-1.